You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ here. Bucky is not, however. Bucky is over in London doing some work for Sky Sports. I actually saw a lot of social media love for the work that that Bucky's doing over there. But we've got our pal, Rhett Lewis, back in. He's filled in for me several times, filled in for Bucky as well.
Unofficial third member.
Yep. Primary backup.
That's what we're going with.
Is that better than unofficial third member?
Well, you know, like the third quarterback in the NFL is not a job to envy, you know. But
You get paid a lot of money. You don't do anything. It actually kind of sounds like you.
There we go. See, that's what I do for you. I just set you up. You know.
Yeah,
I mean?
It is. Yeah, you'd be the straight guy. I love that. Hey, man, it is a crazy, crazy weekend of football. I'm not a whole lot of sleep over here. Got in about 5 o'clock this morning after doing the Charger game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Unfortunately, I missed our show, which I heard
we missed you dearly.
Fantastic.
You know,
aftermath.
For about five minutes.
Give us a time. For that.
We're promoed heavily. That's a whole other story. But we're actually on an hour early. Bonus hour of the aftermath today.
I don't show up and you get an extra hour?
Yeah. You know, I don't know how that deal works. But 2 o'clock Eastern time today. It's normally we'll see you every Monday, 3 o'clock Eastern. You know what it is. The how and why from what happened on Sunday.
All right. We've got our 10 takeaways here.
Let's do it.
And we're going to get, by the way, we're almost bearing lead because we have a coaching change. But it's going to be just got to wait for that a little bit because we're going to touch on Green Bay and some of these other coaching openings as well. So don't think we forgot about that. But why don't you start us off with our first takeaway here, Rhett, what we got?
Look at that. You can do a little hosting. That's crazy. Takeaway number one, compliments for the Ravens brand of complimentary football.
Ty Montgomery in the backfield. Lamar Jackson in the pistol. He'll run the option to the right. He'll tuck and keep it. Breaks a tackle. He's to the five. Lunges for the pylon. Jackson waiting for the signal. Touchdown. Lamar Jackson breaking the tackle, breaking the plane, and gets the Ravens in front for the first time today.
So, DJ, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe it is no coincidence that the Ravens return to a dominant run game.
Oh, no, go relevance.
Go relevance? You want relevance?
The Ravens return to relevance with the run game. I mean, come on.
That's too many R's there for it. But look, they're averaging over 250 a game coming into the Falcons game, another 200-plus yards rushing. And in that three-game streak here that Lamar Jackson has been starting a quarterback, their defense has really returned to their dominating brand of football on that side of things. And look, you know, maybe it's just me, you know, spending too much time in Boston covering the Patriots and hearing complimentary football just like nailed into my head. But this is like the perfect example of it kind of manifesting itself on the field. I mean, if you're a Baltimore Ravens defense and you hold a high-powered Falcons offense to, 131 total yards, that's a pretty darn good day at the office.
No question. And look, I've had a lot of different kinds of chocolate chip cookies over the years that are fantastic. Now, the thing is, the recipe is a little bit different for all of them. And that's what it is with NFL teams. The formula for winning is different for every team. Some teams struggle to find out what that formula is. And I think the Ravens, with Lamar Jackson, have found the formula that works for their team. Run the football. Rely on your defense. You can play some field position. You're going to get turnovers. And that's what works. This is what works for this team. When I go back, when I was there during Jamal Lewis's heyday, I mean, that's what it was. Dominant defense. Jamal Lewis running for 2,000 yards. Not great quarterback play in terms of throwing the ball all over the yard, but it was going to be physical. Yeah. You knew you were going to have to defend the run for four quarters and teams wear out, especially as defenses continue to get smaller in the NFL to get faster to deal with all the passing you have in this league. And then defensively, they just maul you. They maul you at every position.
They're
out of the corners, everywhere.
Yeah, and look, if that run game starts translating into explosive shots down the field in the pass game to guys like John Brown, then I'm going to really have to start like reevaluating this Ravens team as a contender in the AFC.
Well, yeah, I mean, Lamar's got to hit some of the layups. Yeah. He had a couple layups down the field that were gimmies. He's got to find a way to hit those if they're going to have success coming down the stretch. As we've talked about off camera here, Rhett, they've got a challenging schedule here coming up, starting with Kansas City this next week. So they're going to have to throw it just a little bit better.
No question about it. You want to take us down the list here, takeaway number two?
Yeah, the game I was at, Phillip Rivers delivered a huge win to the Chargers.
Now from 29 for the win. The snap, the kick is on the way, and it is good! And the Los Angeles Chargers win it 33-30 on a field goal from Michael Badgley.
Yeah, that was attempt number three. Really bizarre ending to the game there with the Steelers jumping off sides three consecutive snaps. One was a missed field goal. One was a blocked field goal. The third right between the uprights, and the Chargers get out of there with the win.
That's
it was
crazy. Coached, right? Like that, they're coached to do that at that point, right?
I mean, what do you got to lose?
I mean,
it's kind of one of those deals like on a Hail Mary, you see guys get tackled because you figure they won't call it. You're just hoping they don't call one of those. And you end up getting a block. I know some people were saying, oh, that's the way they're icing the kicker. I'm like, I don't know about that. I think they're just hoping to get away with one.
Yeah, exactly.
And get off the snap and get a block. But so many takeaways I could come away with in this game. But Phillip Rivers, just the veteran leadership and the poise. When this team's down 23-7 early in the game, no panic. They found a way after coming out of halftime. They get a stop and they go down and score, two-point conversion, and then they just start to get rolling there in the second half. Now, no doubt about it. I'm not being a Charger homer calling those games, right? They had some bounces that went their way. Can't argue that.
Yeah.
But
the Keenan Allen touchdown for sure.
Keenan Allen was
them.
Crazy. Yeah. You could have called a block in the back on the long punt return for a touchdown to Desmond King, and you had the fault. You had Sam Tevy get off a little bit early there. Second touchdown the Chargers have had this year where it should have been a false start on the long touchdown pass to Travis Benjamin. So they had some of those things definitely go their way. The other thing I would say is, when you're playing in a big stage, and that's what this was a playoff atmosphere there at night, you need your stars to show up. I mentioned Rivers, Keenan Allen. They put him in the number three position in the slot, just matching him up linebacker after linebacker after linebacker. He did his thing. Joey Bosa with the key sack. Derwin James was all over the field. You start to see now these Chargers have some star players on both sides of the ball, really starting to get it going here as you come down to the important games of the season.
Yeah, Derwin in particular delivered
awesome
on a national stage, man, as a rookie. I mean, I think you'll see a little jump in his Pro Bowl voting for sure. That was a fun one to watch, man. And you know, as you said, the stars showed up, but you do have to get some of those breaks if you're going to be one of these teams.
You always have to have one of those.
Exactly.
So think about this. I know I want to stay too long here, keep the train moving here, but things have to break your way. We say it every year with the Super Bowl team, you know, and teams that make deep runs. Things go your way. Think about this. What are the odds? You go play a game in London, okay? No rain. Perfect weather, right?
60 degrees?
They went a game. The next week, the weather was terrible for the NFL game after that. Melvin Gordon didn't play. You find a way to win on the last play of the game. Mike Vrabel goes for two. They don't get it. You go play in Seattle. No rain. Beautiful day. You go play in Cleveland. Beautiful weather. You go play in Pittsburgh. It was like 50 degrees. It was
in
unbelievable.
December.
Rain for like two or three days before, and then just perfect weather. You start sitting here thinking like, man, everything's kind of just coming up perfect here for this football team.
Yeah, and to put icing on the cake there, they win the game on a kick. I mean,
go figure.
Right? That's the biggest picture of it for sure right there. All right, I'm going to get us to takeaway number three here, DJ, and I'm going to take you to the Patriots-Vikings game. The Pats can win with run game and defense.
First and goal to go from the two. Out of the eye, Michelle, the tail of the tandem behind Devlin. Brady turns, gives it to Devlin. Up the middle, and dive to the end zone. James Devlin times two. Touchdown, Patriots. His second of the day.
So I guess, James Devlin's like the LeGarrette Blunt of years past. Just give
him the
rock,
same roles, right?
Just give him the rock down by the goal line. You know, it took a while for Sony Michel to get fully healthy. And when he has been healthy, man, that has been a tough run game to stop. You pair him up with James White, and this is a formidable backfield duo. I mean, it's been really impressive. They've got their offensive line run blocking really well. It doesn't hurt to have Tom Brady there, making sure you're in the right play, getting things figured out. But so I'm impressed with the way they've run the ball on offense. That's their most productive run game in the last 5 years. So that part's really good. And then on defense, 270, you keep the Vikings at 278 total yards. You keep Thielen and Diggs under 100 yards receiving. Yeah, Dalvin Cook, thanks to John DeFilippo. He didn't get the ball a ton, but he did have nearly 100 yards there. I've been really impressed with – they're kind of challenging your metric and your model that you guys talk about here on Move the Sticks all the time for building a roster. They're doing it on defense without that elite pass rusher.
Yeah, which is unusual, which is very unusual. Now, it'd be interesting to see when they get into the postseason and see some of these teams that are playing at a very high level, how they hold up. I just think it's fascinating with the Patriots because – they are the opposite of the herd mentality. When the whole league is going pass happy, now all of a sudden the Patriots take a left
turn. Give me the fullback, baby. Let's go.
We're going to run the ball, and we're going to be different. So, and that's kind of what you admire about them. They go their own way. They're always one step ahead in terms of trends. And as the league is kind of caught up to spread and spreading the ball out, getting the ball out of your hands, now they pack it in, they run the football. So it's fascinating to watch how Bill Belichick continues to grow and evolve this team and this organization, and as they're on their way to look, they're going to end up with the number one seed, number two seed. People going to have to roll through Foxborough in the postseason.
And they will not be beaten at home. They will not be beaten at home.
It's unbelievable. But hey, look, they're going to be somebody you got to worry about, no question. There in the AFC, keep it moving here. This is what we hinted at the top of the show. Green Bay, there's a job opening. One of many potential attractive head coaching openings.
Second and goal on the 8, I formation behind Rosen, who takes the snap and gives it to Edmonds off the left side, trying to sprint to the corner at the 5, to the 3, into the end zone for a second touchdown. It took 30 years for a guy from Fordham to score in the NFL since Kurt Sohn in 1988, and Chase Edmonds has done it twice, and he gives the Cardinals the lead late in the third quarter.
Yeah, there you go. The Cardinals, a team I saw up close and personal, I believe gave up, 45 unanswered to the Chargers the week before, who did not have a pulse. I had talked about it in the run-up to this game, saying, hey, I just want to see some fight from the Cardinals. I mean, let's just make it a ball game, make it somewhat competitive. Let's get to the second half. We'll do one do better than that. We'll go win the game. It ended up costing Mike McCarthy his job, which – I want to kind of broaden it up because a lot of people have talked about, you know, Aaron Rodgers, his performance, his responsibility in this. And I don't want to go there. I want to look at this, Rhett. Keep an eye. Tell me when the last time you had jobs with either a young quarterback or a quarterback clearly established with plenty of good years left with some other pieces in place. I mean, you look at – everybody's compared the Cleveland Browns job to the Packers job, you know, because you've got Baker, who's a lot younger than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a lot better than Baker at this point in time. But you can have the Jets job. I still believe in Sam Darnold. You've got 4 or 5 big-time pieces on the defensive side of the ball. You need to add some offensive linemen and some weapons, but that's a good foundation to start from. So you've got Jets, you've got Browns, you've got Packers. What was the other one there? There's another one we could be potentially looking at here going through these teams. We'll see what happens with Carolina and Tampa Bay, which there's some mixed emotions there, but Cam's had an MVP. Jameis has started to show a little bit of promise. There's some thought that, you know, Steve Wilkes could be one and done with the
right,
Cardinals.
Right, with Rosen. Yeah, that's the one I was
thinking. So, I mean, I can't remember a time. It seems like normally you get a job and you're like, oh, well, we got to hope that the quarterback we want is there in the draft. Well, these guys already have quarterbacks.
No, I remember that vividly, actually, when my dad was with the Detroit Lions and when they were interviewing Jim Schwartz. And he got the job and he comes up and he says, man, it's about time we find a replacement for Bobby Lane. You know, look, and they go on to draft Matthew Stafford, right? And you're absolutely right. To have a job come open, I think a job becomes marquee when you have a quarterback that the franchise is invested in. And there are quite a few of those jobs out there this year. This is going to be an interesting coaching cycle
And then
to watch.
The question, who the heck are the candidates?
Right. Who are all the great young minds, I feel like, at least that we are, you know, very familiar with, have already gotten jobs, you know? Yeah.
Can I give you a name? It's probably not going to happen this cycle.
Sure.
But I told people when I was, you know, had worked in Philadelphia and in 2011, I guess it would have been 2011, 2012, I said, Doug Peterson will be a head coach in the NFL.
There you go.
You're around him. He's a former quarterback. He's cerebral. He's got a presence about him. Players, you know, like being around him. He'd been under Andy Reid. A lot of factors, the former quarterback thing, the backup quarterback thing seems to be something that works. So
uh-oh.
I'm going to give you the next. You want the next one?
Yeah.
It's going to be Mike Kafka.
I brought him up on the aftermath. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Because I have not heard much about him in the media, but I'm just telling
you. Kansas City Andy Reid tree, man. There it is.
He's got that. He was with them there in Philadelphia. We drafted him in Philadelphia, Northwestern. So you know you're getting a smart kid, quarterback, knows how to relate, was a great leader coming out of college. I mean, he literally checks every box. Now, is it probably a year or two ahead of schedule?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't you're a GM now. You don't get two or three coaching hires. You get one.
Exactly. You can't
wait,
right?
So I'd rather get a guy I believe in maybe a little bit earlier than I'd like, than having to go find a retread or somewhere that you're not all that fired up about. Maybe have training wheels. You're going to have some training wheels early on. Maybe do what the Rams did and get a veteran defensive coordinator to go with a young offensive-minded head coach. I'm just telling you, that's the name I keep an eye on.
You know, if you're the Packers, you keep –
Yeah,
you know,
there you go.
The defense has played a little bit better than they have in years past. But Kafka's an interesting one. Maybe would love to see, you know – have to see him
Kafka
a year with
young, he'll be younger than his quarterback if he goes to the Green Bay Packers. Well, that would be interesting.
That would be, in fact, love to see him get a year of play calling as well as
no
part of
question.
That. But that's
just keeping
that's
just an keep
interesting
an eye on
one.
That one.
Yeah, no question about it.
All right, what's your next takeaway?
My next takeaway here is, and you, with each win, the Giants' season becomes more frustrating.
Daniel in a shotgun set, Cohen to his left. He takes the snap. Giants bring pressure. Daniel slides left out, throws a deep ball down the middle of the field. Pass batted away, incomplete. Janoris Jenkins knocked it away, and the Giants will win the ball game 30-27 in overtime.
Okay, this game never should have gone to overtime. This was nuts how this thing finished up in the final 90 seconds. But the Giants get the win. Okay, and yes, they were playing Chase Daniel. Okay, Mitchell Trubisky wasn't there, but, you know, like we're probably not going to send Mitchell Trubisky the MVP this year. But what I look at like the box score of some of their wins here, and I'm like, they figure it out in spurts. Saquon Barkley this week, 24 carries, 125 yards. That's the kind of thing we should have seen, you know, during their losing streak, which we weren't necessarily able to. You know, we've seen Odell Beckham get back into the end zone here, both with his arm and in the receiving game. Still love to see some of those deep shots that haven't quite transpired. But I feel like their offensive line problems have kindly settled up a little bit. Jamon Brown coming over from the Rams, and that's kind of helped there on that right side. So I feel like with each win, I'm like, gosh, this is the team that we thought we were getting the last 2 years, really, when they have failed to live up to expectations, and they've been in some close ones. And with the state of the NFC East, man, they should be a contender this year in that division.
No question, and it's a little too late here. Yeah. And all it's doing
– they're not out yet!
It's screwing up your draft order is what it's doing. So Eli Manning, look, you know Eli Manning wants to continue to keep rolling, so the best way to do that, win enough games where you're out of contention here to go get a quarterback. So it's interesting to follow this football team because talent. There are some very talented players. I was in the eating area with the Chargers downstairs in the hotel while this game was on one of the TVs, and it's just interesting when you have guys like Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley. I mean, game recognizes game, I guess is the phrase that goes out there.
Yeah.
And they're locked
they dig
in.
That.
And also Tariq Cohen.
I knew you were getting it.
Personal favorite of mine. Personal favorite of the Chargers players watching that.
12 catches, 156. For Tariq Cohen. Unbelievable.
Such a fan of his coming out, and he's lived up to it, no doubt. All right, before we continue on here, Candid makes it convenient, affordable, and easy to straighten your teeth.
Candid's clear aligners are sent directly to your home and customized specifically for you to fix and straighten your teeth. You use their at-home modeling kit and then send back your impressions and some photos. Candid's network of highly trained orthodontists will then review your specific case and provide you with a 3D preview of what your treatment will look like. So after you receive your 3D preview, you decide if you want to move forward or not. So you can also talk to a real person at any time if you have questions. They'll even set up a video call to walk you through the modeling process. Candid's treatment takes an average of 6 months and costs 65% less than braces. It will literally save you thousands.
You're one step away from getting straighter, whiter teeth. Take advantage of Candid's risk-free modeling kit guarantee and go to candidco.com/sticks to save 25% on your modeling kit. That's candidco.com/sticks to get 25% off the price of your modeling kit. candidco.com/sticks.
First down, they toss it left to Lindsey. Lindsey with behind Garrett Bowles, and Lindsey is loose. Here we go. Fed race 40, 35, 30. Phillip Lindsey down the sideline. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Denver. No flags. A run of 65 yards.
Well, I feel like I've been saying this for a while now. I haven't seen this Broncos team up close. This is a dangerous bunch if they get into the postseason. And now they've rallied off three wins in a row, Chargers, Steelers, and they just finished up the Bengals this past week. You look ahead, 49ers coming up, Browns, Raiders. Three games they should absolutely win before finishing up with another shot at the Chargers in the final game of the season. The Denver Broncos are rolling, Rhett.
DJ, this is the team that lost 6 of 7 games from week 3 to week 9, and all of a sudden they are back in the playoff race? How does that happen? Okay, wait, quick trivia for you, okay?
Yep.
Phillip Lindsay, undrafted free agent running back, right, out of Colorado. Yep. He is on pace to break the single-season record for the most rushing yards by an undrafted free agent. Who holds that record right now?
Priest Holmes.
Negative.
No Priest Holmes.
No. Nope.
For undrafted free agent running backs. Can you give me a time frame of years?
He played with Peyton Manning.
Dominic Rhodes. Is that who it is?
That's it.
How about
that's
that poll?
Yep.
You didn't think I had that one, did you?
Well, I mean, I basically gave it to you.
No, come on. Colts?
Colts, yeah. No, that was good. They are a dangerous team.
You know, they're running the football. They can rush the passer, although the Chris Harris injury is big. Looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the regular season with a chance. They're hoping he could come back if they find their way into the postseason.
Yeah, no question. That is for sure a big blow there, but he feels like he can do it. So that would be a pretty miraculous recovery, just a hairline fracture there of the fibula. So hope for the best for Chris Harris. But that has been a fun team to watch the last 3 weeks in that three-game win streak. All right, I'm going to move us to a team kind of going the opposite direction. Carolina is in my mind, as James Taylor might say, but not in the playoffs.
Never have to explain.
First down and 10, untimed play. Heineke's going to throw the ball toward the end zone. We got 7 guys in red back there. We knock it down. Game over. Bucks win. Was that Damian Elliott that knocked it away? I think it was. Now we can fire the cannons again.
You're a big James Taylor fan, eh?
I am a big James Taylor
fan. Why wouldn't you be?
Thank you very much.
He's
Come
fantastic.
On. Grew up in Southern California?
Yeah.
Actually, it has nothing to do with Southern California.
No, it doesn't.
Boston
it
guy, but nonetheless.
So, look, I mean, this is that pretty much sealed the deal for the Panthers. You lose 4 in a row, and then you lose to Tampa.
Fired some coaches.
Yeah, and they really shook it up on the defensive side of the ball. They fired Brady Hoke among the two coaches that were let go.
It was all those interceptions that they threw, you know. Obviously, yeah, the defensive line coach.
Wait a second. That is an interesting piece of that. Now Ron Rivera is taking back the defensive play calling there, and this is a staff that kind of seems
telling you,
like
this. That's why you start sitting the uh-oh. You know you're a little hot seat when you start making these types of moves.
Yeah, Tom Pelissero actually told us on the aftermath today this was something this coaching staff was kind of aware of. When David Tepper came in, you get change of ownership. You kind of get on edge a little bit. And yes, Cam Newton, who had been having the best season of his career under the direction of Norv Turner, the 4 interceptions, man, that's a stinker. It's hard to get past that. But on defense, just the opposite. They have not been able to take the ball away. Just one takeaway the last 4 weeks, all losses, where they had 15 in the previous 8. That won't get it done either.
Well, I had some Panther fans. I don't know if they were mad at me or just lamenting the fact that those days were over, but I'd said the Cowboys defense reminded me of those good Panther defenses, and they were just like, man, because some of those players are still there, right? Luke Kuechly was there. They went to the Super Bowl.
Well-compensated defense, by
no
the way.
No question,
yeah.
and they are not playing well. That is what the Cowboys are, what they wish they were and what they used to be. They are no longer, and that's going to be an interesting thing for them going into the offseason. But, man, you've got a big decision to make there. You know, if you Ron Rivera's a respected coach who's won a lot of games.
Patience has been the virtue with
him,
right?
Yeah, you've got to tell me who you're going to find that's better. And maybe, again, it's just this offensive-obsessed football culture we're in right now that they're going to go try and find another hot. Maybe it's Mike Kafka, huh? Maybe they just go get Mike Kafka.
Shoot, depending on how many openings there are, he may not be a year out. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. It'd be interesting offseason there. The other thing is I think this has been kicked around, but I always thought it was, you know, very interesting to see what happens with Ozzie Newsome, you know, who is moving on from the Baltimore Ravens. He's kind of Eric DaCosta is going to take over as a general manager, something that had been set in motion, I believe, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Ozzie has said he'd be the highest paid scout in the NFL, would just kind of hang around this Ravens organization and be a consultant. Ozzie's not old, and Ozzie is as good as it gets. If I was the Carolina Panthers and you decide with a new owner you want to go in a new direction, I promise you that is my first phone call is to Ozzie Newsome and say, would you be interested in come and be the president of this football team and try and let him build out this entire organization, because there's nobody, in my opinion, I'm biased, haven't been around him, there's nobody better than Ozzie Newsome, and guys like that don't become available.
Well, it's a great point. David Tepper, who is now the owner of the Panthers, who was a minority owner of the Steelers, has certainly seen the roster construction there that Ozzie Newsome is capable of right there in that AFC North. That is for sure interesting. All right, you want to get us to takeaway number 8?
Yeah, Jax showed us some pride.
Dropping his luck. Goes to the right side. You called it, Jeff. He gets out of bounds. Now he stays inbound. He is inbounds. 2-1. The game is over. The game is over. They tackled him inbounds, and the Jags have won it. Oh, boy, do they need this.
Nobody can slow down Andrew Luck and the Colts. They are rolling. He's putting up huge numbers. Just a given 3 touchdowns each and every way. Uh-oh.
Shut out?
That looked like the Jags defense from last year that absolutely put it on this Colts offense. Pitch a shutout. Are you kidding me? They score 6 points. Cody Kessler throws for $150. They had no offense to speak of whatsoever. But the defense did what a dominant defense can do, is put the entire team on their back and won a football game.
I mean, where are the Jags going in the playoffs? Where's their playoff seeding? You know, I mean, like that's what you would expect to be talking about after
this, right?
At least
a playoff defense, even with no run game and no offense really to speak of. But it was – they have too many great defensive players not to play better, and finally it happened.
You know what's funny is it didn't start out that way, you know, for Jacksonville. One play in particular that we showed on Game Day Live, it was the Carlos Hyde fumble. So it was a play that was called by a new offensive coordinator because they fired Nathaniel Hackett. Cody Kessler in for the benched Blake Bortles, handing off to Carlos Hyde, who they traded for because Leonard Fournette was suspended for a game. I was like, oh, my God, it's all coming to fruition in one play here. But
By the way, Tom Coughlin, way excited for win number 4.
Yeah, he was. He was all in, man.
He was all in. Those shots of the booth with Tony Khan were priceless.
It was.
Tony tried to give him a little side hug there. Tom didn't even, like, he didn't even know what happened.
He's too focused, man. Laser focused on the defense getting the win. Crazy.
That was great.
Yeah. Yeah,
get us going here. Keep us rolling.
All right, I got you here. Takeaway number 9, you know where I'm going. A Texas-sized win streak continues in Houston.
Deshaun with a mini boot, looking, firing right side of the end zone, and got a man, Jordan Thomas, touchdown, Houston. They made it look easy.
Mark Vandermeer on the call there for the Texans, who is now called
one of the best.
Yes,
one of the best,
absolutely,
the way.
And has called a touchdown pass from Deshaun Watson in now 17 straight games. That is pretty impressive, and obviously he is a big reason why they have won 9 in a row after starting out 0-3. But I think it's also really interesting that Lamar Miller has started to show up these last 3 weeks in particular, where he is the league's second leading rusher over that time period. Obviously, the 97-yard run against the Titans helped out a little bit, but over 350 yards rushing, they can win that way. I mean, that hides a little bit of what is a perceived deficiency there in the offensive line. And, you know, it does kind of make me feel like, you know, there's a team and a coach that Bill O'Brien is very familiar with that you know, has a knack for masking deficiencies and putting players in the best possible position to succeed. And that's what the Texans are doing right now.
No question. And, by the way, I'll take people behind the curtain here. We send in our takeaways. I try and send in my 5. And so then Rhett has to come up with 5 other ones that obviously are different than my 5. I am a good-hearted human being. I would never, ever take the Texans for one of my 5 because
you
I know
it. Yeah, they're my squad this year. You know, my sister works down there in Houston. Shout out Morgan, way to go!
Girl, Morgan.
Yeah, way to work.
No, they are playing. They're playing great football right now, and they're turning people over. I'm just telling you the one thing. I know they ran the ball better, but in the playoffs, that offensive line.
Yeah, you got to be able to protect it.
That scares me.
It does. I saw Myles Garrett come in and, you know, and take Deshaun Watson down from behind. I was like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, by the way, the first time you see it, your first thought is horse collar. No,
not in the pocket.
Not in the pocket. So, yeah. But, man, that was a show of strength there.
Yeah, it was.
By Myles Garrett. All right, last
finish it out.
Mariota, little late game magic.
On 3rd down and 7, Mariota takes the snap, looking, firing, caught, Davis, towards the end zone, he goes, he gets in! Touchdown! CD makes the catch, uses that big body to angle his way between 2 defenders and hit pay dirt.
for the Titans. First lead of the day.
That was Mike Keith, who is awesome, by the way. You just think of every big moment in Titans history. I can hear his voice in the background, and he is a great dude as well. But this Titans team, I don't know. I was talking to a personnel executive with another team about them, and they had played against them and just said, you know what, that team plays hard. They still have holes on their roster, but you know when you play them, you are going to get a fight. And when I look at some of the games that they've had, I mean, I saw them with the Chargers game, came down to that two-point conversion at the end where they fought back in that game. You have this game, comeback against the Jets. You have the Eagles game where they're down the whole game and they come back and beat the defending champs when the Eagles were still highly thought of at that point in the season. There's a lot of fight to this football team. It's something to be said. And I think you got to give both Mike Vrabel and Marcus Mariota a lot of credit for just being mentally and physically tough.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And on that defensive side of the ball, there's some young players over there to be excited about. Rashawn Evans starting to come around a little bit, eight tackles in the game. And then Harold Landry has been a force off the edge, just as he was at Boston College. And then, you know, I feel like Malcolm Butler, despite some early season struggles, he's still a really good corner in this football in the league. And so, you know, this is a team that's got some bright spots for sure.
No question. They have fought their way to 500. So we'll see what happens to them going forward here. Anything else you want to add before we get out of here, Rhett?
You know, it's fun hanging out with you here. You know, as a real, you know, television host, I have to say, you know, you did kind of a 500 job today. So that was good,
really?
Good for you.
Really nice. Yeah. You know, the crazy thing about it, though, is that people actually watch these, you know. So it's a little different than the TV work you've been doing. Like, we have a viewership.
Yeah.
We have an audience out there.
We have the best halftime show in football on Game Day Live every Sunday. Come and hang out. Hashtag halftime extravaganza.
All right. What pizza company is sponsoring that thing this year?
Nothing.
Pizza?
Kind of, we're a ship without a vessel. I don't know. Something like that.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Sponsor. Little pizza. hey, right, thanks again, buddy.
Yeah,
you're the absolute best. What are we calling you? What do you want to be called again?
Not just the third member. Primary backup.
Primary backup.
Yeah. Third PBU? Member's good, too.
PBU. Pass breakup.
Yeah.
PBU. That's Rhett Lewis, the PBU. That's going to do it. I guess Bucky will be joining me from England on tomorrow's podcast. So be on the lookout for that. Remember, you can download, subscribe, all that good stuff. Apple Podcasts, leave us a review or a rating on there. We do appreciate it. And we'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.